Welcome, everyone, to Authors on the Air. I'm your host, Pam Stack. We are proud to be part of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. This is a very special night for me. I get to sit back and listen to two award-winning authors chat. I am going to just be the technician and listen to what everybody has to say. In this exclusive in-conversation interview, the host for tonight is award-winning author Rebecca Warner. Rebecca has long been an advocate for women's rights to social, economic, and political equality, but she also recognizes the power that women wield through their confidence in their femininity and their sexuality. She combines these dynamic elements in her award-winning books and in her blogs. Rebecca is a regular contributor to a blog on HuffPost. The range is in topics from feminist matters to politics and finance. Her books, oh my gosh, her books. Let me tell you the names of her books: Moral Infidelity, Doubting Back to Love, and He's Just a Man. If those aren't women-empowered books, I don't know what are. Rebecca's been happily married to her husband for 29 years. They From everything I understand, they're going to be moving to California. It is my pleasure to welcome your guest host to tonight's show, Rebecca Warner. Rebecca, welcome.
Hi, Pam. Thank you. Thank you for that lovely introduction.
You're absolutely welcome. I'm going to turn off my microphone and listen to you talk to your guest. Take it away.
Okay, thank you. Christy, how
Hi,
are you
Rebecca?
Tonight?
I am wonderful. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing so well, and I want to thank you so much for taking the time this evening to have this conversation, Christy Woodson-Harvey, because I know that you are going to be very busy with your book tour schedule, and in fact, it starts tomorrow with two events. Is that correct?
Yes, it sure does. I'm so excited to just be getting on the road and getting out there, and you know this, but what we do is a little bit of a solitary job, and so it's sort of like it feels like a big part of the celebration to get to go out and share it with readers and remember, like, oh, this is who we're writing for. It's such a treat, so I'm so excited.
Well, you are such a popular author, and it is because you have that attitude that you write for your readers and you want to give them the experience. And you have the most successful book tours, though, and they are so exciting. And this particular
one
is for your newest book, The Southern Side of Paradise, which was really such an enjoyable book. So are you feeling geared up? Are you excited about this release and this tour? This is your fifth book.
It is. I was just thinking this morning, like, oh my goodness, I cannot believe that this is my fifth book. I mean, even 6 years ago, I never even knew that any of this would happen for me or that I would ever have a book published, much less have a fifth one coming out in the world. And I will say, you know, you asked about being geared up and are you ready? And I think, you know, yesterday I sort of had all those nervous butterflies in my stomach, and I have a 7-year-old son. And so my husband and I have this very elaborate calendar of, you know, everything, how they come to meet me and, you know, who's picking him up from school every day and like all of those things. And so we sort of get it all together. And last night I started getting all these great comments and messages from readers like, you know, oh, I'm coming to see you in Myrtle Beach tomorrow, or I'll be in Dallas in May, or I'm coming to Maryland, or, you know, whatever it was. And it just gives me this just so much excitement, because I was like, oh my goodness, I am going out on this super fun road trip to meet all of my girlfriends all over the country. Like, what could be better than this? So it sort of just gets rid of those nerves. And I think once I'm in it and once I get started, I just have the best time. So it's just the before, if you know, I'm sure you know how that feels just with anything in life. That before is when I get a little nervous, and then once it starts, I just have a ball.
Well, the thing you just said about get to see your girlfriends, I think that part of that is, you know, when I read your first book, Slightly South of Simple, I remember, and I put this in the review, that it was just so accessible, the reading style. And that's true of you, too. You're accessible, and that's part of your charm, Southern charm.
Thank you.
You have so many people who are so excited about this new book that you're bringing out. And I was lucky enough to have gotten the ARC from your publisher and have read it, and I just really enjoyed it so much. Now, this is the third book in the Peachtree Bluff series. You've written two others. And now, for our listeners who aren't yet familiar with these books, would you give us an overview of Peachtree Bluff and the characters who live there?
Absolutely. I'll give you a little bit of background because I just think this is a little bit of a funny story. So I had two standalone novels come out before this series, and I actually had an editor who is still my editor now. I had someone approach me and say, you know, I like your writing. Would you be interested in potentially writing a series for me? Which absolutely shocked me to my core because I was like, oh my goodness, I can't believe that someone would want to, you know, take a chance on this many books with, you know, someone who at that point I was a very new author.
Yes, but a successful author even then. Excuse me, go ahead.
Thank you. No, but so my agent says, well, just call her on the phone and find out what she wants from you, but whatever you do, don't pitch her the idea for the series. So I was on tour for my second book, and I didn't even have an idea for a series. So I was like, well, I can't pitch her an idea because I don't even have an idea, so we're safe all the way around. So she calls me the next day, and, you know, we're chatting, and we just hit it off right away, and she was from Florida, which was, you know, sort of the South, depending on who you ask, right? Some people
Absolutely.
Are like, oh, Florida, that's about it, anyway. So we hit it off, and I think, okay, I'm just going to wrap this up and tell her I'll write her proposal. And before I can, she says, I love the way that you write about sisters. And I say, that is so great, because I really want to write a series about sisters. And that was, you know, like I want to write
to be on that
dogs.
Same
I mean,
page.
That was absolutely, yes, that was absolutely
I just had
nothing.
To give you a connection right there. You had to think, oh,
yes.
This person
the
here.
Same
is,
thought.
She gets you.
Yes. And so she says, well, tell me a little bit more about that, which, you know, as a writer, is a dangerous thing to say to a writer because then here we go. And so I'm thinking, you know, my agent is in my head. Don't pitch her the idea for the series. But all of a sudden, I just get this idea. And so I say, well, I want to write a series about these three grown sisters who all end up coming back home for sort of a finite period of time to live with their mother in this little tiny southern town. And she says, well, that sounds like chaos. So great. You know, that'll be perfect.
Did she say that?
She says,
that sounds like chaos?
Yes, she said, sounds like chaos. And so I said, well, and she says, well, tell me more about the mother. And fortunately, I write an interior design blog with my mom, and I had just been doing that this morning. So I'm like, she's a decorator. And I'm kind of going through this mental list of what do I need these characters to have. And so I think, well, let's give mom a good love story. And so I said, well, at the same time all these girls come home, this man from the mother's past ends up coming back, and he's carrying with him a big secret.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was sort of how this story was born. And, you know, from my mistake of pitching a series on the phone, but she liked the idea, and it all worked out. And I loved writing, you know, these three sisters who are all sort of at a low point in their life, and their mother and each other and this little town of Peachtree Bluff, Georgia, sort of end up bringing them back to themselves. So.
And Peachtree Bluff is fictional. It's a fictional town, correct?
It is a fictional town, and that was actually sort of a point of contention.
But it sounded so familiar to me. You know, it has such a southern charm to it.
Yes.
How did you conceive of Peachtree Bluff?
Well, so when I was originally imagining the series, I live in a little coastal town called Beaufort, North Carolina, not to be confused with Beaufort, South Carolina.
Right.
Yes, they are different.
They are different.
But I wanted to set the book there, and they said, oh, no. We want you to write a book about Georgia. And I was like, Georgia? What? I write about North Carolina. But she was like, look, you can write about whatever you want. Just call it Georgia. So I had fun. I'm actually glad in retrospect that this was a fictional town because I got to base some pieces of it on my little town of Beaufort. But I also got to pull in some other fun, southern, charming things from other little towns that I've lived in or knew of. And I think it does give you a little bit more freedom, you know, to be able to, you don't have to be so by the book. You can make things up and you're not going to get a phone call that there is not really that place. So,
exactly.
So that was nice.
Or you wrote that character based on me. I just know you did, right?
Right. Well,
somebody might say that too. If you do it,
there's still a lot of speculation about that.
Let me just, if I may, your first book in the series, Slightly South of Simple, which is just such a great title. You know,
thank
it
you.
Just the title in itself. You just that became a national bestseller. I mean, the first in the series, and I mean, Pop Sugar said it was the ultimate summer reading, and Parade Magazine called you one of the hottest new Southern writers, and that was your first in the series. And then you had the second, The Secret to Southern Charm, which came out in the spring of 2018. And USA Today made the list of Happy Ever After's best women's fiction. And then Southern Living's most anticipated beach reads of 2018. And that's happening again this year, even more. You're getting the same kind of accolades, and that's what builds the excitement. So, I mean, how does it make you feel when you see your book on all these lists?
I mean, it is just, it's absolutely crazy to me, and no one is more surprised than I am.
Really? Do you have to pinch yourself sometimes to think, this is really happening to me?
Well, and I think especially with this series, not that, I don't think anybody had these, like, super high expectations for the series. The plan was sort of, we're going to write a series, and we'll build out your career, and, you know, then we'll sort of go from there. And I think Slightly South of Simple was kind of a surprise in how popular it was. Not that, you know, or just how, I guess, just it sort of seemed to take off. And as you know, I mean, we have all these great ways to spread the word about books, but still, to this day, the number one way that people pick up a book is because a friend says, oh my gosh, you have to read this.
Absolutely.
And so that means a lot to me, because I feel like it's been amazing to watch Slightly South of Simple, and maybe this is just the nature of the series in general, but just to sort of see that it's kind of kept this momentum going, you know, almost 2 years later, we're still, you know, it's still doing really well. So that's kind of fun for me to think that, you know, even several years later, that people are still getting introduced to this series, and they're still going to be visiting Peachtree Bluff with me, and it's just really, it's crazy to me. I can't even believe it. And sometimes I'm just like, wow, is this happening? This is so exciting.
I bet it is so exciting. And the good thing is, people can find any one of the books, maybe read them first. And I want to say you do a beautiful job of bringing the backstory into each one so that they could be standalone. But the whole series from the very beginning is just so excellent. So people will continue to find you for quite a long time. And and if you allow me to do just a little bit of background here, I read an article in Sassy Magazine, and you said that you studied journalism at the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill. And your plans were to just work in that field, but then you got this book idea that just wouldn't let you go. Now, was that Sweet Carolina?
Yes. Yes, Dear Carolina. It was my very first book, and that was, I actually had written a couple of novels before that, just sort of playing around. I wasn't even really planning on getting published or trying to get published at that point, which I know sounds crazy, but I just, it was something I was dabbling in, and I got the idea at the craziest time. My son was maybe 3 days old, and we had just come home from the hospital, and I just remember, like, looking down at him and thinking, what must have to happen in a woman's life for her to be able to part with her child? And it was, like, just in that moment, this whole story came to me of, you know, this birth mother and this adoptive mother and the way they kind of come together and change their lives, and what, you know, the circumstances in this birth mother's life that really lead her to make what would be an incredibly difficult decision, to say the very least.
Yes.
And it
I
was
thought that when I read
timing.
Sweet Carolina, I thought, wow, you know, to make that something that a mother could really believe could happen, you did that.
Yeah. Well,
and
thank you. Well,
so
thank
this
you.
Was your first book, first published book, Sweet Carolina,
my
right?
first published book. Yes.
And it was long listed for the Pat Conroy Southern Book Prize, your first book, okay? And it was optioned for a film, wasn't it?
It was.
I mean, it was.
And it,
this doesn't
it
happen
actually,
to everyone, Christy.
No, I know. I say all the time, and you mentioned this earlier, and I appreciated this, but I really do feel like I work as hard or harder than anybody else. It means a lot to me. I care a lot about it. I work really hard. But you also have to have a little bit of luck. You have to have a little bit of that.
But you can have all the luck in the world, and if you don't put the effort into it, it's not just going to fall in your lap. And I've noticed that about you on your social media Everything that you do, you put 100% of yourself into it. And that has a lot to do with your success. Talent will out, but also hard work behind it really makes a difference. And
no,
I want to
say
I've loved all your books, but I must say this. You said you've been 6 years ago. 6 years ago this career started. Is that what you said earlier?
Yeah, my Dear Carolina came out in 2015. Oh, gosh. So, really, I got the deal. I got my first deal 5 years ago. And so, no, I was just saying even 6 years ago, I couldn't have imagined that this was even going to happen for me. So,
I understand. But you made that happen. And I want to say, too, that this is a good part of being a really good writer, great writers. With The Southern Side of Paradise, I've read all your books, so I saw your growth as an author. I'm going to say that. I mean, it struck me as more sophisticated and more developed, and I know that you put all that work into becoming that kind of writer, but do you feel your editors at Gallery Books have helped you make you a better writer?
That is such a good question, and I was going to say that because, yes, absolutely. I mean, I think a lot of things go into it. I think, you know, the more you do something, hopefully you mm-hmm. do get better at it. But also just having this really wonderful, you know, sort of senior editor who just knows what she's doing. I mean, she had been sort of one mm-hmm. of my dream editors for a long time. And you know, her first book that sort of put her on the map was Sex and the City. And so obviously, you know, this is a woman that knows how to find something and to really make it its best. And I am going to tell you the truth. She challenges me. And sometimes we, you know, we'll fight it out about a little something or another. But she definitely has made me a better writer. And she pushes me, like I said. I mean, she'll say, you have more there, and I want it. Like, find it and give it to me. Yeah. You know, like, she's very, she does not let me play safe. And, you know, you've read this series, so this concept was not safe. And I obviously don't want to say what the secret is because it will ruin the entire book.
Oh, right. You brought it together so beautifully through the three books. It was like, this is where it was going. This is, so much. So good.
But,
and
you know,
she helped you with that.
Big risk. Well, I pitched it to her on that initial day on the phone, and there was this kind of silence, and I thought, I have lost her. This woman is thinking, this girl is crazy. No one can write this and pull it off. And she said to me, you know what? I've never read that before. We should definitely do that. And I was like, okay, this is my girl.
Absolutely.
But, you know, yeah, I mean, but it was a big risk. And I mean, before Slightly South of Simple came out, I remember just lying in bed in like sort of a cold sweat. Like, I have written this really kind of out there sort of secret that this entire series is going to revolve around. And so if book one does not go well, I've got to do this two more times.
Did you really have that thought?
Oh, yes,
I guess that's
absolutely.
Pretty normal.
Well, you know, I mean, I live in the South, and it's sort of a scandalous thing and that I was writing. And so I was like, oh, my goodness, if people don't get this. And I think, honestly, more than anything, it was a challenge for me as a writer because I thought, I want to take this and see if I can make this character sympathetic and see if I can, you know, put someone in a really bad situation but still make people, you know, sympathize with this protagonist and sort of understand her motives. So
absolutely. And I think that where you have a real talent, your talent for giving each character a distinctive voice, that is so hard to do. A lot of people can't do that as well as you. And that was true from the first book in the series. I mean,
thank
I even
you.
Said in my review of that book that you have a special gift in that you have an ear for dialect. And you know what was interesting was a few months after I wrote that, I read an interview by you in the Book Bag Blogspot.
Yep.
And you were talking about hearing your characters. Hearing your characters. How does that work for you? That you hear your characters.
I said this one time at a I was actually with another author, and we were doing a panel at a book conference, and we were talking about how, you know, we hear our characters, and someone in the audience raised his hand and said, do you think this is some sort of mental illness that y'all should be checked out for? And I was like, it very well could be, but it needs to not go away because otherwise I am not going to be able to write books anymore. But it was really kind of a funny
thing. It's not really hearing
a
voice in your head, but I thought that was a very
right.
concept that you hear your characters. I mean, that's why your dialogue, I think, is so authentic. It's
well,
some of the
you.
Best dialogue I could read.
Well, thank you. And, you know, I think what it is, what I compare it to is, so let's say that tonight I was thinking about talking to you. Like, I was driving down the road and I thought, oh, I'm going to be talking to Rebecca, and this might be something that she'll ask me, and this might be how I'll respond, and this might be how she'll respond. It's more like that, how you're sort of, you're almost kind of playing it out in your head. But I do, it is definitely a deeper level of that. And in Dear Carolina, more than any other book, I really heard Jody's voice. I mean, I could just hear her. I knew who she was. And that was the first time that had really happened to me. And I think that sort of made that book click for me a little bit. And then, so I really spend a lot of time now trying to kind of get in the heads of my characters. And I'm not an outliner. I don't outline my books. And I think it's because I get to know these characters as they're sort of, I'm living with them and I'm writing their stories, and they become so much more real to me, you know, as the story progresses. And so I feel like they, hopefully, you know, they develop in ways that I wasn't even really expecting. So that's kind of one of the fun surprises.
It is. It's part of that creative process that just when it happens to you, it's so surprising, and you, and it's so authentic when you do it. And you really, that is interesting to know that you heard Jody's voice and you knew her character before you even wrote the book. So now, so what you're doing, you also, I read, you're passionate about giving back, and you do a lot of fundraising, especially on book tours. Now, yeah. I know that following Hurricane Florence, because I follow you on social media, you actually pledged the proceeds from the pre-sales of The Southern Side of Paradise for hurricane relief efforts. I mean, that was just so generous of you. What else are important issues to you for fundraising purposes?
So many things. Anything that has to do with children, I'm very, I mean, maybe just being a mother, but I think I've always been like that. I'm actually, I'm getting ready to do, there's a children's cancer charity that I absolutely love. It's called the Children's Cancer Partners, and it's in North and South Carolina. And they really just come in and they really deal with everything else that doesn't have to do with the treatment. I mean, they find places for people to live, and they really partner alongside these families. I love them. I'm very passionate about that. I've also done a lot of things for, you know, developing countries and, you know, women who are, you know, microloan financing and that kind of stuff. That's one of the things that is just really interesting to me. And then anything that has to do with my UNC Chapel Hill, my university, I love that. But there are a lot of local places. In fact, this is maybe, I'm not going to say maybe, I'm going to say definitely the coolest fundraiser that I will probably ever do. So we are still, my part of Eastern North Carolina is just still really challenged from Hurricane Florence. And it was 7 months ago, but like, I'm still not back in my house. I think half of our county is still displaced. It's just been a really devastating thing. And I live in a little historic town, much like Peachtree Bluff, Georgia. And so the Beaufort Historical Association, I'm actually on the board there, and I love it. And it's one of the things that helps to just keep our town so unique and, you know, keep up our history and all of those things. And we're actually doing a Peachtree Bluff town takeover. So all the businesses and restaurants in town are all coming together, and everyone's going to have a sign. And I'm doing these double-decker bus tours of the town. We have people coming in from all over the country to take these tours. We're having lunches and dinners, and it's been incredible.
It's sold out. Isn't it sold out?
A lot of it is sold out. Like, one whole day is sold out, and then, like, three of the events on the next day. I cannot believe it. Like, I almost kind of, with my publicist idea, and I thought, no, I just, it's too big, and, like, I don't know if people are going to want to do it. And I think the first day and, like, half of the second day were sold out in, like, the first 3 days. And I was like, oh, my goodness. And I think, you know, not only, I mean, I think it's a great concept, but I also think people really care about this organization, and they really want, you know, to be able to sort of infuse some life back into a town that has really had a hard time. So
that is a great idea. And Christy, who better than you to be the person to sponsor that and to lead that? And good for you. And speaking of your schedule, I just want to say this now. First of all, you're a successful author. You do this fundraising. You're a wife. You're a mother. You're a lifestyle expert. You and your mother, Beth Woodson, run a successful interior design business. You are so busy. It's so good you're so young. But listen, this schedule of yours. Now, what was interesting to me was, well, you have the two events tomorrow, and one of them, you will be at the Silver Coast Winery in Sunset Beach tomorrow night, right?
Yes.
And there are some, every day you have something, but I see that on May 5th, which is known as Cinco de Mayo, there's a, at Dee Dee's Gifts and Books in Moorhead, there's a margarita sip and sign event. Did I get that right? Okay.
Oh, you got that right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then on May 11th, you'll be at South Main Book Company in Salisbury, and I think that was for Bloody Mary's Books and Bites.
What are you saying? No, I think
we're seeing a theme here. This is not your ordinary book tour. This is like the most fun book tour ever.
Books and cocktails. You know, you have to bribe people sometimes to get them there. So we're like, give them a drink, and they'll be excited. And
I think it's a great idea. And I bet that you find that when you do these kinds of fun and informal events like that, that it kind of breaks down barriers, and you get to know your readers better, don't you?
I totally agree.
This has to be like, this is like a social event, but it is Southern. And it's so delightfully Southern in the best way, because I'm from the South also, so I just love these kinds of things.
So, everything's a cocktail party in the South, right? I mean, it's just, you know, wherever you are, it's a cocktail party.
Absolutely. And as we know from reading the Peachtree Bluff series, they took every opportunity to enjoy being in that atmosphere. And it was just so much fun to read that, because it was just also authentic, as I said, and I really enjoyed it. But I would like to say also that you have had so many excellent reviews and just so many wonderful things said about your books, and your editorial reviews are really outstanding. But before we go, I just wanted to, this one just hit me so perfectly, and it says, it's from Huffington Post, and it says, "My prediction is that writers come and writers go, but Christy Woodson Harvey is here to stay. The warmth, wit, and wisdom of this novel," and we're talking about Slightly South of Simple, "pave her way into the exclusive sisterhood of Southern writers." I mean, and indeed, that is proven to be true, and I think that says it so well. So please.
I will have to say that's one of my favorites. I remember when that came in, and I thought, that is going to be a hard quote or blurb or whatever you call it to ever beat, because that really meant a lot to me, for sure. It was incredible.
And it turned
out to be exactly so.
Here you are with this book, such a success. And congratulations to you, Christy. I mean, on your amazing success. You've worked so hard for it. I see the incredible effort you put up, not only writing great books, but keeping your fans and your readers engaged in your life. And people really appreciate that kind of personal experience with an author like you. So we're going to be looking for The Southern Side of Paradise to be on a number of bestseller lists this summer, and I think it'll be your most successful book yet. It's really a wonderful book.
Thank you.
Pam wanted to come in and ask us both a question.
Hi there. It is such a pleasure to sit back and listen to two wonderful authors and two fabulous women who are truly women's advocates talking. I've just enjoyed it so much. I want to just say, Christy, you know, you and I go back a ways. And you will come back, but I want to ask you this. How would you like to come and be the guest host and interview one of your favorite writers?
Oh, that would be so fun. I would love that. My mind's like racing, like, oh my gosh, like, who do I want to interview?
Well, you and I will talk about that, okay? We will figure that out. I want to go back to Rebecca and say, Rebecca, I have read so many of your HuffPost blogs. They are so empowering and I think so important. How often do you blog for Huffington Post?
Well, I'm not blogging for them as much anymore because they changed the entire format. They
the
sold
format,
it.
Right.
My
right,
editors
right.
were no longer there. So I'm moving on and writing new books. I do blog on Medium, someone on my own website. But writing books right now, I just finished one and I'm doing another. And so
there you go.
That's where I'm concentrating right now. But thank you
okay,
for that
so,
because I do appreciate
you know, I appreciate that you're on Medium, and I love that site, too. Before I let you go, please tell everyone where they can find you on the webs and in social media.
Well, we should do that with Christy first.
We're going to do it with Christy because I have a wrap question for Christy.
Okay, good. My website is Rebecca J. Warner. If you even Google Rebecca Warner or Rebecca Warner Huffing Post, everything comes up. Fortunately, it shows up, and that's a good way to connect and go to my website, and everything is there as well. And I would be thankful and grateful for anyone who wanted to follow up on that. Thank you, Pam.
You're so welcome. Christy, my friend, I'm thrilled to have you back, and I am looking forward to you being the guest host. But before I let you go, I want to know this. What does your mom think of all your success?
Well, my mom is amazing. I have said in pretty much all of my books and the acknowledgments, my mom works as hard on my books as I do. We blog together on Design Chic. And so when I am on tour and I'm doing all these things, she takes on so much work that I normally do. She's just incredible. And she has been such a huge advocate and has really helped me. I mean, I feel like so much of my career has been sort of a grassroots effort and just, you know, connecting with people like you who just sort of will come alongside and help people promote their books, which is incredible because I don't get to do what I do without people like you. And mom has been one of the people that have really like helped me, you know, connect with people who, help spread the word, and anyway, she's amazing. She's the best.
Well, let's give mom by her name a shout out.
Okay, her name is Beth Woodson, and she is the best mom in the whole world. My mom's cooler than your mom. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, happy Mother's Day early to both the Woodson women. Where can everyone find you on the internet and social media?
So my author website is ChristyWoodsonHarvey.com, and my design site, if anyone is interested, is MyDesignChic.com, which you can just Google Design Chic or Christy Harvey or anything. And then on Instagram, that's sort of where I'm most active. I'm at Christy W. Harvey and Christy Woodson Harvey on Facebook.
It has been an absolute delight to have two fabulous women on this show. I want to thank you so much to the listeners, and but especially to my guests today.
Thank you so much,
Mom and Dad, for
so wonderful to be able to talk to Christy. Thank you,
Christy. Thank you, Beth. Thank you, Rebecca, for an amazing interview, and thank you, Pam, for coordinating all of this. It was so fun.
You're absolutely welcome, and I will be in touch with you both again. Thank you, listeners, and thank you, Mom and Dad. Have a great week, and happy Mother's Day if I don't talk to you before then.